Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, obviously we have quite a bit today on the information that keeps rolling in on the disastrous terror attack and mass shooting that happened over the weekend. Man, there are some interesting nuggets of information that we're going to lead with here. Stuff that some things that should have been obvious, other things not so much. But it's they're interesting stories nonetheless. Later on in the show, we have Donald Trump's reaction, exactly as you expect. That's how he reacted. That whole Muslim ban thing. He's gonna take a victory lap and say, oh, totally, and he's gonna quadruple down on that and everything. Then later on, we will pivot off of this stuff and we'll move into some other things. We have Louis Gohmert gave a speech at the Faith and Freedom Coalition where he weighed in on his thoughts on the transgender community. Louis Gohmert speaking about anything is always funny because he's obviously so clueless in so many ways. And if we have time later on, we're going to get to an insane story coming out of Qatar where a woman was raped and she's locked up. Let me repeat that. A woman is allegedly raped, and she's the one who's in prison. Yeah, pretty sure that's not how it's supposed to work. So anyway, let's get started here. We got a lot to get to, and we're going to do that with Omar Mateen, who is the shooter slash terrorist from over the weekend. So the FBI released some more information on Omar Mateen, the terrorist who killed 50 people at an LGBT club in Orlando over the weekend. And there's one fact here that's a massive head-scratcher. He apparently pledged allegiance to ISIS, as we knew from the initial reports on the way to do this terror attack and this mass shooting. He told 911 that he's pledging allegiance to ISIS. But then also we learn that in the past he's pledged allegiance to Al-Qaeda. Okay, well, they're both jihadist groups. They both, you know, kind of have a streamlined message, although it is true for anybody who knows the details of this that Al-Qaeda and ISIS are actually sworn enemies because ISIS was a break-off branch of ISIS. They were Al-Qaeda in Iraq, and then they became their own thing because they didn't like Central Command. So it's a little weird to, you know, join rival groups, but you could say, hey, they're Salafi jihadist groups. These are Wahhabi groups. These are, you know, they share the same philosophy, so it's really not that crazy. Okay, well, then you add in he pledged allegiance to al-Nusra. So we got three groups now. Al-Nusra, for those of you who don't know, is al-Qaeda Syria, and they're a distinct branch of al-Qaeda. In fact, their main thing, as of right now, is that they're fighting in this civil war against Assad and the Shias, and they're trying to take down the government in Syria and erect some sort of Islamic theocracy in the region. So now we have three groups that he pledged allegiance to. Now, again, the argument is, well, they all share the same philosophy, so even though they may have bickering between them, I don't get what the big deal is. Here's where you drop the bomb in the conversation, no pun intended. He also pledged allegiance to Hezbollah. Okay, now anybody who knows anything about the Middle East is going, that makes no fucking sense. Because Hezbollah is a Shia group. And not only do they not agree with Al-Qaeda and ISIS and al-Nusra, they are literally fighting them right now. They are sworn mortal enemies. there's honestly a case to make that Hezbollah and ISIS, or Hezbollah and Al-Qaeda, are higher on the list than, you know, the West is to Al-Qaeda and ISIS. Like, all these ideas, oh, we're going to get the Crusaders, the goddamn Americans, and they're terrible, yada, yada. That's all like, but first we got to take care of these goddamn Shia militias and Shia groups in the region and, you know, the people who are helping Assad, and they're number one on the list. We got to get them. They're standing in our way. So he pledged allegiance to groups that are just complete and utter enemies, which leads you to what conclusion? Now, some people, I think, are taking away the wrong conclusion from this. And they go, well, then obviously this shows that religion has nothing to do with it. No. That's not what it shows. What it shows is that he is incredibly confused. Now, there's other things that point in that direction anyway. I mean, the fact that anybody would go out and kill people in and of itself is a massively backwards, immoral, unethical, and confused act to do. Like, something's off if you're doing that. But it does show you that he doesn't know the details. He doesn't know the specifics. But there is still that element of, you know, Islamic fundamentalism in his actions, and I don't think anybody should try to deny that. In fact, we know his dad brainwashed the living shit out of him. There's been countless articles that have been released since the event happened where his dad said God himself will punish homosexuality, and his dad at one time pledged allegiance to the Taliban. So obviously he was raised to hate gay people. His dad also said the reason he went nuts is that he couldn't stand to see two gay people kissing. Well, why would that lead one to attack gay people? Well, obviously that seed was planted from long ago that that's evil, that's wrong, that's immoral, that disagrees with Almighty Allah. But what it does show you is, although that's certainly a real part of it, the deep religious brainwashing, there's also this element of he is a crazy person too. And by the way, people have been tweeting at me and saying like, oh, you know, you play too loose with that word. And like, for example, this guy was bipolar. So people say when you point to that as evidence as to why he would do the shooting, that's not a fair thing to say because I'm bipolar and I'm not violent. You got to understand, guys, that's not what I mean. I'm not implying that all bipolar people or all quote unquote crazy people are prone to do violence. I'm just saying it's one piece of this massive puzzle, and all the other factors could be more relevant, for example. But that mental illness also played a factor in this is undeniable. That's not to say all mentally ill people are violent. Of course not. But it is to say that that is one piece of the puzzle in this giant puzzle here. And when you look at everything in its totality, you begin to get a clear picture of what's going on. So you have a guy who is a brainwashed Islamic fundamentalist. You have a guy who's totally confused. There's other stories about him being this loner that nobody liked. We're going to get to some of those later. And it just goes to show you yet again that when you live in a country that has super-duper-duper easy access to guns and you have many people who are confused and off their rocker and violent and extremist religious fundamentalists, it can end bad, man. Now, again, I have not said, and I don't believe that we should ban guns. I think that's a bad idea. But should we more stringently and rigidly regulate them? And should we ban certain kinds of guns? And should we make it harder to get a gun? And should we make it so that we do regulation that would lower the statistics dramatically of number of gun deaths in the United States? Well, absolutely. I don't see a logical counterargument to that. This guy, you know, beat his wife. This guy had outbursts at work that people called sexist and racist and, you know, obviously homophobic, and he spoke of killing people. He had many incidents where he was violent. Again, we'll get to some of them later. And still, at the end of all of it, he was able to go into a gun shop a week before he massacred people and just buy whatever the fuck he wanted. Well, no, we should have had a background check system that was good enough that would have rejected him. But we didn't have it. And I love the counterargument. People from the right are saying, well, you know, he went through the whole process. So, yeah. Yeah. No, but that doesn't prove your point. It proves our point. If the process should have had clear enough rules and should have been distinct in the sense that nobody would have sold this guy a gun. But when you have the background check, but you don't lay everything out specific enough where you say, okay, here are the things that are disqualifying, well, then you're left with this. So they think they're proving their case. They're proving our case. They're just showing that we need better regulation, smarter regulation, more efficient regulation. But, I mean, this is, another large piece of the puzzle. This is another large piece of the puzzle that you have somebody who was so immensely confused that he pledges allegiance to ISIS, al-Nusra, al-Qaeda, and Hezbollah. And I think it all goes to something that one of his friends said, or an acquaintance had said. He always seemed like he was just, you know, trying to fit in. And for whatever reason, he didn't have the capacity or the ability to connect with people in that way. So it was kind of like a lost soul who's also brainwashed with Islamic fundamentalism, and the end result was, we know what it was. Okay, so that's story number one. Numero dos. Gawker is reporting on some new information regarding Omar Mateen, the terrorist that killed 50 people at an LGBT club in Orlando. They say, according to witnesses, Mateen was also a regular at the club and exchanged messages with at least one gay man on a gay dating app. So they also go on to say that he'd been going there for over 3 years, and he would oftentimes sit in the corner and drink by himself, and sometimes he would get belligerent and he would be kicked out. And one person remembers an incident where he pulled a knife on somebody in the club after one person in the club made a joke about religion, and he got all offended. He pulled a knife out, and then obviously he was kicked out. On the night of the massacre, he came in and he was wearing a hat. And somebody said hi to him because, again, he'd been going there for 3 years, so they thought he's a regular. Oh, hey, what's going on? And he said he could see the look in his eyes that something was going to go down. Now, also, so this was from last night that we got this information. Later on in the night, so this was earlier in the night, later on in the night, there were more stories that have come out where people have said, like, oh, I'm gay. I have a dating app on this, you know, site or whatever. It's a site exclusively for gay people, and he had reached out to me. So, I mean, we should have seen this coming, man. We should have known. How many stories have we done where we've discussed it? How the most vehemently anti-gay people have this toxic brew of religious indoctrination and fundamentalism mixed with the fact that they're struggling with their own feelings because they themselves are gay and they're attracted to the same sex. So they don't know how to deal with that. They don't know how to make that okay. When you're brainwashed to the point that you truly, truly believe that God Almighty is frowning upon you because of who you're attracted to, but you know you're attracted to those people, the same gender, well, that is just a recipe for disaster. And, you know, some people who are not violent, you know, they may still end up being massive self-haters, and they may end up setting up some sort of talk show. We've covered many of them on this show, where all they do is talk about gay people and how evil gay people are and how immoral it is and how homosexuality is based on lust, whereas heterosexuality is based on love. So you got to avoid the lust, fight off the lust, and just embrace the love. And you see that there's this internal wrestling match. You know, Dan Savage says it best. He says, you can see them externalizing this internal struggle. And, you know, there's a million factors that go into it. But if you imagine for a second we could effectively remove part of that toxic stew, and we can make it so that he wasn't an Islamic fundamentalist, and his dad didn't tell him, hey, God is going to punish gay people. And his dad didn't swear allegiance to the Taliban and didn't brainwash him into thinking that this was immoral and wrong. Imagine we could get rid of that aspect of this. And so then you have somebody who has attraction to the same sex, and there's not the counterpart in his mind that goes, this is so wrong and so evil, and I don't know how to deal with this, and I'm going to lash out and kill people. Now, again, he still had major, major issues, so you can argue he was the kind of personality that was prone to violence anyway. But if you get rid of that aspect of it, do you lower the chances that something like this happens? Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I mean, the takeaway is beliefs fucking matter, man. Beliefs matter. And when you're brainwashed with this kind of stuff, there is an argument that it's just flat-out child abuse. If you tell your kids from when they're little, you know, regardless of what fundamentalist religion you're talking about, oh, you need to hate the Jews. Oh, you need to hate the gays. You need to hate these people and those people and hate the atheists and yada yada. Well, they don't fucking know any better. You've been telling them that from when they were toddlers. So to them, it's like, and of course, it's a duh. And then when you're telling them hate gays and then they realize at some point that, hey, I like dick, well, then they don't know what the fuck to do. Oh, my God, I'm such a sinner. I'm so immoral. I'm so wrong. I can't control it. I'm messaging gay people on apps because I'm so interested in that, even though I'm not supposed to be. Ah! And then they fucking, some people who are prone to violence enough can lose it and fucking go shoot everybody up. So I can't stress enough how important this is. Now, again, there's other aspects to this. We've spoken about it. He had deep mental illness. And again, not all mentally ill people are violent. That should be obvious and that bears mentioning. But he had major issues in that realm. He also just couldn't connect with people, and he inherently had a violent personality, you can argue. But this is definitely a part of it. And just know that when you see the people who are most viciously and vehemently anti-gay, it's almost certainly because they're struggling with those feelings on their own, and you can see that struggle, but also there's the external aspect of they grew up in a context where their family, you know, parents, society, their culture, a right-wing culture tells them, this is wrong, this is bad, you can't do it. And then it comes out in the worst possible ways. So, I mean, the main takeaway, if only there's somebody watching this who's in that kind of position where, hey, I'm gay, I'm struggling, but I come from this super religious background. Dude, I'm here to tell you all that shit where they tell you it's wrong is bullshit. In fact, they're wrong for telling you it's wrong. And the very simple reason why, they made it up. It's made up. Like, oh, they're taking it from dumbass holy books, whether it's the Quran or the Hadith or the Bible or whatever, about how, oh, this is so immoral. Yeah, and then at other parts in those books, there's slavery and rape, and they say, totally moral! So do you really want to believe that? You know rape is wrong. You know slavery is wrong. So, but that's okay at certain points in those books, but it's not okay to be gay? Just two consenting adults doing what they want when they're not hurting anybody else? There's nothing wrong with it, and there's no need to self-hate because you're taking an ideology that makes no sense. You're taking this mythical framework, and you're basing your life off of it. Well, I'm here to tell you it is a mythical framework, and you can dismiss it, and you don't have to feel bad about who you are. Okay. All right, let me do one more here before we take a break. And this is an important lesson. The father of one of the victims of the terror attack in Orlando really said something that touched a nerve with me. So the Guardian reports here, Guatemala-born Cesar Flores told reporters, quote, I forgive the murderer of my daughter. I cannot live with such hatred. I want you to take better care of your children, see the situation I'm going through, be together in peace, and love one another. Now, his daughter's name was Mercedes Marisol Flores. She was 26 years old. And by the way, a fact that many of the articles didn't bring up that I read the first day, but I've seen now, is that not only was this a gay club, it was also Latin night at this gay club. So almost all the victims are of Latin descent. So that's something that should probably be brought up, if not for just flat out telling everybody the facts here. But when I read this, my thought was, geez, there are so many people out there that are just flat out better people than me. Because I still have, in so many instances, I kind of have that, I don't know if it's a visceral reaction, a primitive reaction, or I would argue at some point, times it's a logical reaction, where response is, no, 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 fuck that guy with a trillion demon dicks. No, no, this isn't, that's not a thing. It's not like, oh, you did this horrific thing, but I will be the better person, I will be the bigger person, and I will say, I will absolve myself of these feelings by forgiving you or whatever. But, I mean, look, there is something in that that's admirable that you look at and you go, geez, there are people in this world that are truly liberal, truly progressive, and they don't let that irrational, animalistic part override their better judgment. And they go, you know what? Because I am better than he is, I forgive. Because of that. Because I know that society and civilization is built on the backs of the people who are willing to rise above the fray in that sense. You know, if it wasn't for people like him, would we have ever been able to set up a justice system that has due process, for example? Because think about it. I mean, it's almost like if you take my gut feeling and reaction after I hear of stories like this, throughout human history, the response of people has been more in alignment with that, in the sense that if somebody commits a horrific crime, it's like, oh, string them up, and you kill them 8 seconds later, and then you move on, or you throw them in jail and lock them up, throw away the key, and that's it. But no, there's something that is virtuous and just about going, whoa, 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 whoa. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to lock this person up, but we're going to collect all the evidence. We're going to go talk to an impartial, branch of people, and we're going to explain what happened. We're going to lay out our case. This person's going to have somebody to be able to defend them, to come out and say, here's why this is wrong, blah, 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 blah. And then at the end of the process, if indeed the person is found guilty, then we administer a punishment after thinking about it and contemplating and going based off of rule of law. If it wasn't for people like him to say, pump your brakes, we perhaps still would be in this primitive mindset where it's like everybody's got that just that visceral reaction of, ah! And then you just want to fucking kill the person. So there is something about what he did here that's just incredibly admirable. I don't have kids, but I could imagine if it was my kid what my reaction would be, and that's probably the reason why you shouldn't have me as judge, jury, and executioner when something happens to my kid like that. So there really is something to learn from this. And remember, guys, like I had to think more and more about it. I used to say the only reason I don't support the death penalty is because we kill the wrong people. But there's actually another reason, too, which is, as I've said before on the show, I only believe in violence in cases of self-defense. Well, it ain't self-defense to, you know, put somebody like this to death. Now, I'm not going to lie in that if indeed, so let's say he survived and then later on he were to get the death penalty. I wouldn't shed a tear, I wouldn't lose a moment of sleep, and I'd be totally fine with it. I'm just being honest with you guys about my gut reaction to it. But if you are truly principled in that stance, where you say you should only use violence in cases of self-defense, whether it's a defensive war or just a personal issue in a case of self-defense, if you really believe that, then you can't and shouldn't put anybody to death through a system like that. So now, because it's not self-defense, so now I have two main reasons why I'm against the death penalty. Oftentimes we get the wrong people. In fact, it's 4% of the time, according to a recent study. That's crazy. We have a system where we murder innocent people 4% of the time. You can't have that. But then also because it's not truly self-defense. So we do have to rise above and be better than the worst among us. We do, because that's what makes society and humanity, you know, better. And that's what lifts us up and raises us above the fray and makes us not all barbarians or savages on some level. And again, I want to give credit to him because it's such an amazing thing to do so quickly after such a devastating event, to basically say, everybody pump your brakes. For our own sake, for society's sake, we forgive him. It doesn't mean if he were to survive, let him go of all punishment / rehabilitation. But it does mean you don't take that vengeance and that need for revenge and react in a way that is also irrational. Okay. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, Donald Trump spoke more about his Muslim ban, and then he did something pretty bad with the press, and this deserves a lot more coverage than it's getting. So we'll talk about all that and then some. Stay right there, guys.
Chicago.
All right, we're back, y'all. Let's get into some more Donald Trump stuff here, unfortunately. But it's important, so we're going to talk about it. All right, where's this clip at that I was looking for? Okay, here we go. Donald Trump tripled down, or quadrupled down at this point, I really don't know, I lost count, on his Muslim ban proposal. This was in a speech yesterday after the Orlando terror attack. Let's watch.
I called for a ban after San Bernardino and was met with great scorn and anger. But now, many years, and I have to say, many years, but many are saying that I was right to do so. And although the pause is temporary, we must find out what is going on. We have to do it. It will be lifted, this ban, when and as a nation we're in a position to properly and perfectly screen these people coming into our country. They're pouring in, and we don't know what we're doing. The immigration laws of the United States give the president powers to suspend entry into the country of any class of persons. Now, any class, it really is determined and to be determined by the president for the interests of the United States. And it's as he or she deems appropriate. Hopefully it's he in this case.
No, it's not. You made that up. We have religious freedom in the United States of America. This is one of the hallmarks of the Constitution. Now, we've spoken about it before. We are also a secular government. So, in other words, no religion can influence the government in the sense that you're picking one religion over another religion, and it's the religion that everybody in the country has to abide by, or it's the official religion of the government. So we are a secular country, but there's also a second part to that. We also guarantee religious freedom, which means you can be whatever the fuck you want to be as long as you're not forcing the government to abide by your goofy religious beliefs. So you could be a Hindu, you could be a Buddhist, you could be a Christian, you could be an atheist, you could be a Muslim, you could be whatever the fuck you want to be. The government cannot prohibit the free exercise thereof, as they put it in the Constitution. So no, you can't just decide, Muslims, nah, not interested. Well, that is fundamentally un-American because it is unconstitutional. And he proposes it, and I love how he just makes stuff up. The way our country works, something, it basically is that the president gets to determine, the president gets to decide any persons that he deems unfit in order to be in the country, we're going to say that you're not fit to be in the country. What the fuck are you talking about? So if the president decided tomorrow, you know what, Christians, we're done with Christians, then that's it? The president gets to do whatever the fuck they want with the Christians? No! Then obviously everybody would say, whoa, religious freedom. What are you talking about? Religious freedom. So, but when it's Muslims, oh, it's a smaller percentage, and oh, we got the scary bad groups like ISIS in the world, so I guess we're going to ban all Muslims from entering the country? And that's the main point here is, he's given a fucking gift here to Hillary Clinton. And I'm not sure Hillary Clinton even knows how to effectively counter-argue this. Because what Donald Trump is doing is he's portraying himself as the strong man who will keep you safe. And if you're a stupid person and you don't know very much about the different branches of Islam and you don't know how many Muslims are not in ISIS or Al-Qaeda or any extremist group, well, then you hear this and you go, yeah, he's just keeping it real. He's just trying to protect it from the big, bad, scary people. And Trump, also, side note, stay away from the teleprompters, big guy. This is a jackass who ripped Obama for using teleprompters. Meanwhile, when he gets on a teleprompter, all of a sudden he doesn't even know how to read. He's like, as I said with the Muslim ban, many years, and I have to tell you, many years, I mean many people said it was bad, now they're saying it's good, something. He just, and this is one of like three or four different instances during his speech where he like said the wrong thing because he read the wrong thing and he had to try to save it and it just didn't really save it. So there's a few more really important points that need to be brought up. When he says, he tries to make it seem more reasonable when he says, well, it's just temporary. It's just temporary. Just a temporary ban on all Muslims from entering the United States. And then he says, well, we have to do it until we can perfectly and properly screen and vet these people. Well, number one, what do you mean by perfectly and properly? Like, everything hinges on what you mean by that, because you can make an argument that we indeed will never be able to screen everybody perfectly and properly. But, I mean, the point is, right now, we have a system where it takes over a year for a refugee to be approved to come into the country. Over a year. We have the most stringent background check system in the world, in all the modern nations. We covered a story on it. I gave you all the details of it. They go deep into your history, into your past. I think they do some sort of fucking DNA genetic testing and whatnot. I mean, the idea that we're not vetting, of course we're vetting, and I agree with the vetting. But see, in typical Trump fashion, disregard what we're already doing, where it takes over a year for people to get in, and we do heavy vetting, and slip in the words, properly and perfectly screen and vet these people. Oh, so in other words, no matter how stringent and rigid the background check system is and how thoroughly we vet people, you're going to argue, even if there's a 0.00001% chance of one of these people being bad, I'm going to keep all out. I'm going to keep all them out. Well, again, this is just a giving a present to Hillary Clinton, but I fear that Hillary Clinton will not know how to hit this softball down the center of the plate. She won't, because I don't know if she's nuanced enough and strong enough in her response where it'll pierce through. Like Trump, for all his flaws, he has this way of talking where everybody gets what he's saying, because he emotes when he talks. He speaks in really simple, punchy sentences. And even though the concepts behind what he's saying are usually dumb, what he's saying pierces through because of how he's saying it. Hillary, you know, and we're going to cover this story later, she was just going back and forth over what terminology to use. You know, I will usually say radical jihadism, but I guess now I'll say radical Islam or something. Like, you just gave into his framing and you just appeared weak, and you're not even counter-arguing his preposterous proposal. Here's how you fucking respond to that. Hey, Donald, the idea to ban all Muslims coming into the U.S. is stupid. It's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard in my life. So what you're saying is keep all Muslims out temporarily until we figure out what's going on. Well, we know what's going on. For example, Ahmadi Muslims are 100% peaceful. Do you know nothing? Are you stupid? Are you an ignorant prick? Have you not read about what Ahmadi Muslims are? Well, why don't you read about that? Why don't you learn about the Ahmadiyya community, and then you find out that these are Muslims who are incredibly peaceful? Why would you ban them? Why would you ban them? That doesn't make any sense to ban them. I guess you're even against peaceful Muslims. Hey, you said it. I didn't say it. You said let's ban all Muslims. Ahmadi Muslims are peaceful Muslims. So why do you want to ban all of them when these are Muslims and they're peaceful? You're not making any sense. Hey, do you know what Sufi Islam is? Do you know what that is? Donald, apparently you don't. Apparently you're ignorant. Apparently you're not well-read on this stuff. Apparently you don't know that Sufi Muslims are immensely peaceful, and they're basically mystics. And they want nothing to do with any kind of ISIS group or Al-Qaeda or jihad. And you don't know this because you're ignorant and you talk out of your ass. So you want to ban all these people, you're banning good people from coming into the country, that's why your proposal is stupid. It makes no fucking sense. Hey, do you know, Donald, that when you look at the overwhelming majority of attacks against the West, probably over 80-90% of the attacks against the West, they're done by Sunni extremists, fundamentalists, so Salafi jihadists, people from the Wahhabi school of thought. So you're going to ban all Shia Muslims from entering the U.S. because you have a beef with a certain branch within Sunni Islam? Do you realize that that's stupid? Do you realize there are many Shias who are fighting ISIS on the ground right now, and you want to tell them, yeah, go fight ISIS, but when it comes time for us to do our part and help you out, if it came time to let you in the country or something, we're not going to let you step foot in our country. Is this how stupid you are? You want to lose the war against ISIS because you don't even want to treat our allies right who are fighting them? Is that what you want to do? Why do you agree with ISIS? Why the fuck do you agree with ISIS, Donald Trump? Why are you helping ISIS? You're helping ISIS with your stupid ideas. This is how you fucking argue against this buffoon. You pummel him into the ground and you let him know how big of a moron he is. And then at the end of it all, you say very simply, hey, guess what? This is the textbook definition of bigotry. The fucking textbook definition of bigotry. I'm going to ban all of you because some of you are bad. What do you call that? Hey, Donald, you do know that when you look at the statistics in the United States, who does the most mass shootings? White men. So let's say we have a super volcano go off in the middle of the United States. We all have to flee. we all have to flee. We can't grow our food anymore, or you know, civil society breaks down. We all got to flee. We got to go somewhere. Well, how would you like it, Donald, if somebody in a different country that was considering letting you in said, you know, I know most of you are probably good people, but I see the statistics. White males are most likely to do mass shootings, so Donald Trump, I'm going to have to keep you the fuck out because somebody who has the same skin color as you, somebody who has the same general description of you, well, some of you are bad. I got to keep all of you out. I got to keep all of you out. How would you like that, Donald? You wouldn't fucking like that, would you? Well, you're an ignorant prick, you're a stupid person, and this proposal should disqualify any person from higher office. I mean, what a joke proposal this is. You don't even know the Constitution, you silly, silly little child, you little man. This is how you deal with Donald Trump. Will Hillary Clinton do that? Probably not. But she has already given in every way to his dreaming. Yeah, I say jihadism, but now I will say radical Islam, and I will say whatever Donald wants me to say because I need to appear tough on the issue, even as he's not tough, he's just stupid. But I will frame it as if he's tough, and I will concede. Well, yet again, we march further and further towards a President Trump. So there you have it. Somebody can go up there, propose a wildly unconstitutional thing, can be deeply un-American, can make up stuff about the powers the president has, like we live in a fascist dictatorship, and he could just decree people not willing of coming in any way. And there's really no effective counter-argument because that's the state of affairs right now in the United States.
Okay.
All right, let's go to Donald Trump going on Fox and Friends, and he said something that's causing quite a bit of controversy here. But I'm more interested in the reaction to this, actually. So what Trump's campaign did in response. All right, so let's talk about this. So Donald Trump went on Fox and Friends to discuss the Orlando terror attack, and he made a curious insinuation about President Obama.
The president called for more gun controls. He also said it was terror, and he said it was a hate crime, but he did not say it was Islamic terrorism, and for that reason, you say he should quit.
He doesn't get it, or he gets it better than anybody understands. It's one or the other, and either one is unacceptable. You know, this is a mentality, this is a state, and you have thousands of shooters like this with the same mentality out there in this country, and we're bringing thousands and thousands of them back into this country and into the country every year. We're allowing them to come into the country.
You mean refugees?
I'm talking about people coming in from Syria where we have no idea who they are. We have no idea as to paperwork, as to where they came from. This could be the all-time great Trojan horse. This could be, you know, the legend of the Trojan horse. This could actually be it. I used to say it with a smile. I used to say maybe, you know, is it possible at the very early stages? And the more and more, you know, thinking, of course, a thing like that could never happen. I'm starting to think it can happen because our politicians are so inept and so incapable, and our leadership, especially at the top, is just, they don't know what they're doing.
So he said it at the beginning there. Either Obama doesn't get it about radical Islam, I assume he's saying, or he gets it better than anyone understands. And he goes on to say, hey, maybe with these refugees, Trojan horse situation, know what I'm saying? So many outlets have pointed out, hold on now, what are you insinuating? The Washington Post, among others, questioned if Trump was insinuating that Obama is basically in cahoots with Islamic terrorists. And how did Trump respond? He took away their press credentials. Wow, and I'm going to get to that in a second. But before I even get into that, like, people were outraged about what he said here. This is Trump 101. It's almost expected from Trump to make insinuations like this. But I am not even mad at that part, because anybody who knows what's going on in Syria and what's happening with the rebels, they know that indeed the Obama administration, whether on purpose or not, they are backing Islamists and jihadists. I mean, I don't know how many stories we've covered, but the overwhelming majority of the rebels now in Syria, they are Islamists and jihadists. Saudi Arabia props them up. We've given arms and funding. We praise this moderate rebel who died when this moderate rebel had praised Osama bin Laden on the record. These guys are deeply theocratic. And because we don't like Assad and the Syrian government, because the Syrian government is aligned with Iran and Russia, we go, oh, we're just playing the geopolitical chessboard games. We go, okay, if we got to lay in bed here with some shitty rebels who are basically – some of them ISIS, some of them al-Nusra, which is al-Qaeda. We go, oh, okay, I guess we've formed this terrible alliance. Fucking General Petraeus floated just flat-out arming these people. Now, we've given them aid. Our ally Turkey has given them arms and aid. But they're like, yeah, no, totally, let's arm al-Qaeda. So I'm not even outraged at the insinuation that perhaps they're in bed with jihadists and Islamists. They are. Now, they're not doing it because, whoa, we want them to take over the West. They're doing it because they want it for a geopolitical imperialistic game that we're playing with Russia, where we want more control in this vital region in the world. That's why they're doing it. So it's not to try to take down the West, but that's why I'm not really even mad at the insinuation. What I'm mad about is the response. When the Washington Post runs a headline on this, Trump goes, "You're done. That's it. You're not allowed to cover my campaign anymore with the campaign." Whoa. And there's more too. Quote, he's also banned The Huffington Post, BuzzFeed, The Daily Beast, Univision, Fusion, Mother Jones, Politico, and The National Review. Guys, those are publications that are left, right, and center. He's just banned them. His team has also placed severe restrictions on journalists who do receive credentials, often barring reporters from leaving the designated press pen. Well, there you go again. So This to me is probably the most overlooked aspect of how disastrous a Trump presidency would be. He's deeply authoritarian, and he's deeply authoritarian in ways that could cripple the Constitution and the First Amendment. So we've covered before, he sued Bill Maher over a joke. He also threatened to sue The Onion over an article that they wrote as well. It was satire, obviously, it's The Onion. Who does that? Who the fuck does that? In a speech, he casually said, we're going to, quote, open up our libel laws. And he goes on to explain, well, all these things that are dishonest, we're going to sue them, and we're going to be able to win massive amounts of money. Well, hold on now. Do you really trust Donald Trump to be the ultimate arbiter of what is fair and unfair? No, any story against him that is just against him, that he doesn't like, he's just going to say, oh, well, now I'm going to sue you. I'm going to open up the libel laws, and I'm going to try to bankrupt you because you said something about me that I don't like. So, no, it's not about, oh, this actual libel or slander. It's about, hey, I want to be able to shut down people, censor people who disagree with me. To the point where now he's literally saying, I'm not allowing you to follow my campaign. You're not getting press credentials, even though you're the Washington fucking Post. Now, I have big issues with the Washington Post. I thought they were massively biased in favor of Hillary Clinton and against Bernie Sanders, because they were. But that doesn't mean that your response to that is, I will now dismiss you and censor you and say you're not allowed to be a press outlet. That's fucking fascism. That's crazy. So that's the angle of the story that's really, really devastating, is that you have a guy here who's promising to not give a shit about freedoms that have made America America. A guy who doesn't care about free expression and free protest and freedom of speech. And what's so funny is that in some circles he's being upheld as this, you know, the last beacon of free speech and free expression in the Constitution. Yeah, only if it's his free speech and his free expression. If it's free speech or free expression or a free press for anybody else, no, if he doesn't like it, he's going to literally shut you down. He sued people over fucking jokes. So he's not, you know, somebody fighting the PC social justice warriors. When people say stuff he doesn't like, he is the PC social justice warrior. This is something that is devastating, and this deserves much more coverage because this is deeply un-American. Okay. All right, so now let me do one more here before we take our final break. So Donald Trump came out swinging against radical Islam after the Orlando terror attack, and Hillary suddenly flip-flopped on using that term, radical Islam. Let's watch.
clearly said that we face terrorist enemies who use Islam to justify slaughtering innocent people. And, you know, whether you call it radical jihadism, radical Islamism, I think they mean the same thing. I'm happy to say either.
Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton today talking about, as we have, the semantics around this radical Islamic terrorism. Here's what Clinton said December about this. So what's the problem with radical Islam?
Well, the problem is that sounds like we are declaring war against a religion. And that, to me, is number one, wrong.
Even though the qualifier radical is there?
No, because, look, you know enough about religion. You've studied it. And there are radicals, people who believe all kinds of things in every religion in the world.
And she reiterated that at a debate, a Democratic debate, this primary season. We're back with the panel. The back and forth today, Charles.
Well, on Hillary and the term radical Islam, what is the change between the interview and today? No Bernie Sanders. The campaign is over. She doesn't have to appeal to her left, so all of a sudden she discovers the term, which is the reason I really like completely cynical liberals who have no principles, and they will occasionally get it right. With a principled liberal, they'll get it wrong every time. But with Hillary, as soon as it is now convenient, she will continue to say radicalism, which is a good thing.
I have so much to say about this. So first of all, you can go back and look at the segments, because when Hillary initially was like dancing around using the term, I did a segment where I was like, why the fuck are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Just say it. Because understand, guys, it's not what a lot of people fear it is. Like, a lot of people on the left are like, I don't want to say it because of reasons X, Y, and Z, that, oh, I fear you're generalizing about all Muslims, yada, yada. But that's not true. There is a qualifier there. The qualifier is radical Islam. Radical is the qualifier. So you could say radical Christianity led to the KKK. It's literally a Christian organization where they quoted Bible verses about how slavery is awesome and segregation is awesome. That is a radical Christian group. Does that mean that you're saying MLK is with the KKK and you're demonizing all Christians? No, you're not. So when you say radical Islam, the fear that you're demonizing all Muslims is nowhere near true. If you were demonizing all Muslims, you would say something like, all Muslims are X, or you would ban all Muslims from entering the country, like Donald Trump is doing. That is literally generalizing about all Muslims, okay? So when you use the term radical Islam, it really is a case of, when liberals are hesitant to do it, it really is a case, you got to keep it real, of them being too politically correct, where it's like you're word policing yourself because you don't want to be offensive, when that's really not offensive, and you have a qualifier, radical Islam. So I screamed there. I said, you should have said it from the beginning. It's stupid not to. You're going to get yourself in trouble. You're going to get yourself in trouble. And what happened? I was exactly fucking right. She got herself in trouble. Because now when an attack happens and Donald Trump's out there like, I'm obviously going to protect you. At least I identify the problem. They don't even identify it. They don't even say radical Islam. They can't even say the fucking words. So that's how you know I'll protect you and they won't. How are you going to fight a problem when you can't even accurately explain what it is? So when he makes that argument, what does Hillary do? Oh, did I not say it? I mean, of course I'm fine with saying it. What do you mean? What do you mean? What do you mean? Hillary, we have you on fucking tape saying, here's why I don't want to say it. And now when an attack happens, you go, of course I'll say it. Of course I'll say it. And then Krauthammer's like, see, just an unprincipled liberal trying to say whatever to get elected. Yeah, that's totally true in her case. That is totally true in her case, and it's so sad to watch. But, so here's how I would have handled it. Now, like I said, from the beginning I would have said radical Islam, because I don't think you're generalizing about all Muslims when you say radical Islam. And you can be clear about that, too. Hillary can say, if she were so inclined, oh, radical Islam is definitely a problem, but let's keep in mind the overwhelming majority of Muslims are good people. Totally fine. You could have said that, but no, she had trouble saying even radical Islam. So she should have said it from the beginning, but she didn't say it from the beginning. So now, since you already started down the wrong path, you can't give in to his framing. So what do? You got to flip it into a positive for you, Hillary. So what I would have done is, I would have said, no, there's a reason I don't say it. It's not specific enough or accurate enough. I say Salafi jihadism. Why? Because that's what it is. It's Salafi jihadism. And then you flip it back on Trump. the problem is with me? The problem isn't with me. I just happen to know the accurate terminology. Go ask Donald Trump if he knows what a Salafi jihadist is. Go ask Donald Trump if he knows what the Wahhabi school of thought is within Islam. Ask him. Ask him if he knows the difference between the Wahhabi school of thought and the Sufi school of thought. Guess what? He ain't going to know the difference. So he might use a term like radical Islam. That's because he's not well-read enough to get even more specific, where, of course, there's a problem within the religion, a certain percentage of the religion, but that is the Salafi jihadist portion of the religion. So again, from the beginning, I would have said it, but since she didn't and she already started down the wrong track, you got to flip it back on him. You can't give in to his framing because you lose if you do that. So what do? No, I'm right, he's wrong. It's Salafi jihadist. He doesn't know what Salafism is. He doesn't know what Wahhabism is. So he's the one that's using the wrong terminology. Ask him about that. And then you go on to explain, I'm going to take lectures about something like the different schools of thought within a religion from this buffoon who literally didn't even know the difference between Hamas and Hezbollah. That's what's going to happen? So I'm gonna take lectures from this clown of all clowns on terminology when he doesn't know what Salafi jihadism is, he doesn't know what Wahhabism is, and he literally didn't know the difference between Hamas and Hezbollah. No. You're talking to the wrong person. I know what I'm talking about. I was Secretary of State, bitch. He wasn't. He was bankrupting four companies when I was talking to world leaders. You go talk to him about this. That's how you deal with it. But of course, Hillary, yet again, does not know how to deal with it. She doesn't know how to handle Trump. She just doesn't. She doesn't. She doesn't know you got to bitch slap him. You got to slap him around. Call him a little boy. That's what you do. You say, you're coming after me for terminology. For fucking terminology. Here's some terminology for you. You didn't know the difference between the Kurds and the Quds Force. How about that? What is that? Go ahead. Donald, tell me right now. Donald, you're on the spot. Tell me what the difference is between Hamas and Hezbollah. Go. I'm not going to give you time. I'm not going to let you be vague. Tell me right now. Go. In the debates, I'd put them on the spot. Tell me the difference between Hamas and Hezbollah right now. Go. Tell me the difference. Tell me the difference between Sunni and Shia Islam. Go. Can you do it? You can't fucking do it. You can't do it. Don't lecture me about terminology. I'm more specific and accurate. I recognize Salafi jihadism is the problem. You go, radical Islam, because I don't know specifics. This is how you deal with this little bitch. God, she's going to get her ass handed to her. This is so sad to watch. All right. Let's take a break. When we come back, we got Alex Jones, we got Louis Gohmert, we got a whole bunch of goofballs. Stay right there, guys. We'll be right back.
Ready for the war, we got our boots strapped. 100 deep on State Street with a troop set. The mayor lines, they didn't see the video footage, and everybody wanna know where the truth at. On the south side where it's no trauma centers but the most trauma. A lot of cannons, but you don't want no drama. I can't imagine if it was my own mama. Got a firstborn son, stole from her. He never had a chance, and we all know it's cause he black. Shot him 16 times, how fucked up is that? Now the police superintendent wanna double back. Cops beating up to the block like a running back. Tension is high, man, these niggas desirate. You can see it in their eyes, they wanna violate. Screaming out, oink, oink, bang, bang. Gang. Murder, they mind state. I just made me a meal and still militant. This ain't conscious rap, this shit ignorant. Hair trigger ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun.
When I cop back, police better run.
16 shots, and we booking back 16 shots, and we booking back 16 shots. They threw a little girl down on the pavement, pushed her with a bike and said, stay out the way. She was bleeding on the ground through her braces. This what happened when niggas don't stay in their places. The mayor dumping weight, he fired the superintendent. But resignation come with bonuses and recognition. So we gon' break in the stores on Magnificent Mile. And if we got a goal, let's go to prison in style. Cops killing kids and staying out of jail. But Bobby Shmurda can't even catch bail. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Now I got everybody yelling out for 12.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Fendo, and we rolling with it hanging out the window. We on 16th riding by the police station. We might make a pork rind out of pig, bro. Somebody tell these motherfuckers, keep their hands off me. I ain't a motherfucker, keep your chains off me. You better hope it's 9mm jam on me or get blown. I hope you got your body cam turned on. The black cop too, that's the same fight. You got a bad bitch, but you still ain't white. This for Laquan on site. When you see Van Dyke, tell him I don't bring a knife to a gunfight.
Alright, we're back, guys. Let's finish strong here. Got under 30 minutes left. Bunch of stories to get to. Won't get to them all. But, doesn't mean we can't try, bitch. Alright, Alex Jones. Alex Jones kept it classy after the Orlando terror attack that left 50 people dead. Let's see who he blames.
There's a headline, Daily Caller, anti-pedophilia bill rejected in Pakistan as anti-Islamic. Boom! Wow. So no wonder the radical left's allied with Islam. They're just a bunch of perverts. They want access to our kids. They want to sexually mutilate our women and put hoods over their heads. No, you're not going to do it. I get to hear all day because I'm a nationalist and pro-Second Amendment that I hate gay people. That's how the left makes themselves cause celebs and victims and, oh, look at me. What I hate is all the fake flamboyant, you're going to run society, you're going to tell our five-year-olds how to live because, you know, they need some LGBT training because, you know, there's so much homophobia in the West where you can live in peace and be left alone and not killed. And then you got the very same left allied with radical Islam in the belly of the West that has given them all this freedom. And they're desecrating it. They're spitting on it. And I'm talking about the LGBT crowd that the media speaks for and that speaks for everybody else and that just sits up there and shoots their mouth off all day about how they control the culture. It's a bunch of bullies who bring in even worse bullies. And are just running around murdering people en masse. And so I charge the left and I charge Obama. And I charge the LGBT community in general with endangering America and with the blood of these 50-plus innocent men and women who did not deserve to die.
Wow. This may be a new low for Alex Jones. I love how he kept talking, and he just eventually wound up his own anus, and his talking points got confused. And he literally blamed the LGBT community for the massacre of the LGBT community at the Orlando nightclub Pulse. That's a new low, man. What's next, Alex? Blame the Jews for the Holocaust, huh? You working on that one? What a prick. I mean, this guy's unbelievable. So look at his train of thought there and where it leads. He starts with, the anti-pedophilia bill was rejected as un-Islamic in Pakistan. And then he pivots to, the left agrees, they're perverts. They want pedophilia and they want to cover up women. And Wait, whoa, where the fuck did you get that from? Where'd you get that from? Where the fuck did you get that from? Dude, we covered that story at the time. Nobody argues that I'm not liberal or progressive, certainly in the context of the United States. We did a segment on that where I ripped it to no end about how preposterous it is and about how under no circumstances is pedophilia okay, and I don't give a fuck if you say it's your religion. Your religion can fuck off. So I did a segment on that. You know, other liberals have spoken on this at length. The idea that we're for pedophilia is just wholly made up. It is wholly made up. It's wholly made up. But he goes from, they're doing this in Pakistan, therefore the left agrees with it because the left agrees with radical Islam. No, if you actually listen to what the fuck many liberals say on issues like this, of course they're against stuff like this happening in the name of religion, but they add on top of it, because it's a reasonable thing to say, hey, and by the way, don't blame all Muslims for the actions of the worst ones. That's what they say. Now, sometimes their meter is off, and perhaps they do overprotect Islam sometimes by accident, and they conflate the doctrine of Islam with Muslims as people. I'm not denying that that doesn't happen. Sometimes it does. But it's absolutely the case that the left is against pedophilia and extremist Islam, radical Islam, fundamentalism within Islam. There's no denying that. But see, what he does is he goes from, oh, look at this horrible thing in Pakistan. Oh, the left agrees. Who's part of the left? The LGBT community is part of the left. Therefore, with my mental jujitsu and my head right on my anus, I blame the liberals in the West, including the LGBT community, for the massacre of the LGBT community in Orlando because a Muslim fundamentalist was the one who did the shooting. What's so funny is he ends up doing the thing that he claims the left is doing. He ends up blaming the victim. He ends up actually aligning with the Muslim fundamentalists, because the Muslim fundamentalists would say, you had it coming, you're gay. Hello? You're gay. So, death? Of course death. What do you mean? Duh, of course you're going to die. You're gay. Hello? That's the sin. That's the problem. And Alex Jones, because I'm so against radical Islam that I kind of agree with the radical Muslims, and I blame the gays for their own death. Genius there. Genius there, Alex Jones. All right, let's go to Louis Gohmert, who gave a speech at the Faith and Freedom Coalition. And it's a typical Louis Gohmert speech. This should be interesting. Everything he says is interesting because he's so stupid. I would probably rank him number one of stupid politicians. And that says a lot, man. This guy makes George W. Bush look like Noam Chomsky. Louis Gohmert gave a speech at the Faith and Freedom Coalition, and he went off on transgender people.
Change this mental disorder of transgender to the term transgender dysphoria. And Dr. McHugh said on the radio with me, he said, that dysphoria may be more descriptive than disorder, because dysphoria, you know what euphoria is. This is an antonym, and it means that you have
a general feeling of dissatisfaction with something, in this case, being with your female or masculine gender. It's a generalized sense of dissatisfaction. And for that, you want to cut off organs and destroy people's lives? And now this administration says, we're going to have the VA do sex change operations. Really? Do we not have enough veterans committing suicide without you increasing that 20 times? Enough is enough. And we have to stand up for our veterans. We're the adults.
This is one of those arguments that always got under my skin when it comes to trans people, because they flipped it on its head. So he's referring to a high suicide rate among the trans community, and he's using that as evidence as to why that's not the right way to go if you are trans. So he's like, don't transition because, you know, the suicide rate is higher, so you got to, like, deal with what you are even though you don't want to. But the response to that is, hey, Louie, here's a counter theory. Perhaps the suicide rate among trans people is so high because of pricks like you. No, and I mean that, too. I'm not just saying that. So you have this overwhelming sense in society, definitely among conservatives and religious folks, where they look down on it and they think it's super weird, and they do think it's a mental illness. And they judge the fuck out of these people. So as a result of that, when you feel that burden and that weight of society that's just judging you constantly, endlessly, and tells you you're no good, and that has an effect on people, man. That has an effect on people. We're social animals. So when you feel this, you know, wrath of society and idiots like Louis Gohmert who question your identity on a daily basis, yeah, that's going to drive many people to depression. That's going to drive many people, unfortunately, to suicide. They're in a world that doesn't like them and doesn't accept them for who they are. And he also is just totally unaware of people who are transgender, who end up taking the hormones, who end up, you know, getting surgery, and then they actually have a good surrounding where people are very supportive, and then you know what they say? Hey, it went great. I'm fucking happy now. There are some people who say, if fucking Caitlyn Jenner, who I have massive issues with, so that's a separate conversation for a separate day, but she says, hey, when I first got that injection of estrogen or whatever it was, she was like, oh, no, that was it. I was done. I was like, this is how I wanted to feel my whole life, and now I feel this way. So who the fuck is Louis Gohmert to say, no, I disagree. I don't give a fuck if you disagree. How about that? So, and guys, I've gotten messages from trans people who listen to the show where they say, hey, thanks for speaking up for us. We really appreciate it. You know, you're saying things that really are true and are describing what we feel and what we go through and whatnot. And it's not like I wasn't born knowing all this. It took me a while to learn about it. I shut the fuck up and I listened when people spoke. And I went, oh, okay, that's interesting. So the way I would describe it is imagine you're somebody. So I'm a straight male who identifies as a male. If I was forced every day to get up and put on a dress and put on a wig and put on lipstick and you know, just look as female as possible, I would be fucking miserable. Because that's not who the fuck I am. Why am I dressed like this? I'm not this person. This is insane. I want to take it off. I fucking hate it. I'd be depressed. After a few days, I'd be like, that's it. I can't take it. Because you're not living as who you are. So just that's exactly what these people go through. You know, you're born biologically male, but you know you're female. Your brain, everything about you, you go, I know I'm a female. So when you actually start acting in accordance with that, you go, oh, I'm much happier. So that's what happens. That's what these people go through. And some people have told me, like, no, seriously, I was contemplating suicide, and then I got the hormones, and I started transitioning, and I identified with what I know my gender is, and then I was better. So for Louis Gohmert to go out there and just judge, and act like he has all the answers and he knows that it's wrong to transition, he's got no clue what the fuck he's talking about. And we all know where it's coming from, too. It's coming from his fundamentalist religiosity. That's where it's coming from. It's coming from, the Bible and God don't want to do that. Yeah, take your religion and shove it up your ass. I have no interest in you dictating to other people how to live because you believe in Harry Potter and the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. So, call me crazy, but I don't think people should take medical advice from Louis Gohmert. Okay, now, let's move along to Iran's senior cleric.
Oh, this is such a sad story. What are you going to do? People like this still exist.
Iran's senior cleric made some hilariously stupid comments about women in his country. He said, "My office has received photos of women next to the dry Zayandeh Rud River, the largest river in central Iran, pictured as if they are in Europe. It is these sorts of acts that cause the river to dry up even further." We've actually heard this before. I think it was a lawmaker in Utah said something similar. He was a Christian fundamentalist, or it might have even been a she, was a Christian fundamentalist, and they said something along those lines, too. Like, yeah, it's all this slutty dressing leading to this drought. That's exactly what he's saying. No, but people like this still exist. This is so stupid. It's like, let's do a rain dance to try to get some rain. Maybe that'll work. What the fuck are you talking about? Cover up, toots. You better cover up. The rain gods are looking down on you. They don't like it. How stupid are you? How stupid are you? But look, this is what happens when you're brainwashed into religion. Is you, everything is viewed through that prism and through that framework. So if you truly believe that this stuff is true, well then, you know, you're not a scientific mind. You, everything reverts back to the religious framework. So if there's some sort of problem, what are you going to do? What are we doing to piss off Allah? I don't get it. We're doing something because Allah's not giving us rain and we need rain. We're going through a drought right now. The river's drying up. What the fuck is happening? Oh, I figured it out. I found some pictures of women standing next to the river, and God damn it, they were showing too much skin. Allah's pissed about that. That's why this is happening. But your entire framework is wrong. What mommy and daddy taught you is bullshit. You know, your belief in Yu-Gi-Oh! And Pokemon is not true. But they can't help themselves, and they still exist. And I'm amazed that they live in this bubble where nobody was ever like, hey, maybe that's the dumbest thing anybody's ever heard. Have you considered that? Maybe you shouldn't say that out loud because it's stupid. So another Iranian mullah said back in 2010, many young women who do not dress modestly lead young men astray, corrupt their chastity, and spread adultery in society, which increases earthquakes. You got them, bro. Those damn women. Show a little bit of ankle. You know, maybe get a tropical storm. Show a thigh, earthquake. Show a butt cheek, Armageddon. Okay. All right, squeeze in one or two more here and we'll call it a day. RT is reporting on an insane story coming out of Qatar. They say a Dutch woman who reported being raped during her holiday in Qatar has been held by the country's authorities on suspicion of adultery since March. They continue. She's 22. Her name is Laura. The suspected assailant is also in custody. He, however, denied all charges, saying the sex was consensual and claimed that the woman had even asked him for money. She completely denies the accusations, and she and her mother have also been pressured to have her marry her attacker. Oh, goodness. So that's what there. When you're going through the story, at a point, you become agnostic. Like, oh, so he says this, she says this, where's the evidence? We don't know. It's an open question. By the time I got to the end of the story and I read that line, I said, oh, no, my mind's made up. Because in the midst of all this, the authorities are like, okay, so now we get you to try to marry him. She's like, what the he raped me. Yeah, but under our traditions and under our religion, you marry him. All right, this isn't a thing. It's not like, oh, 50-50, I'm going to put both of you in jail. Like, even if what she did is a false accusation, the initial response is not, hey, let's put her in jail too. It is, okay, lock him up, no evidence for him to be guilty, then he gets released. You see what I'm saying? But no, they locked up both of them. She charges that she was raped, and she gets locked up, and they literally say, well, even if she was raped, she committed adultery. I mean, you want to talk about being behind on women's rights. And this is why, you know, we go after what we call third wave feminism here in the U.S., how, you know, people argue about women in video games and say it's sexist to have them be a certain way. I don't think those arguments are strong. I don't think it resonates. And I think you actually damage feminism when you pick little things like that to argue over as opposed to big issues. Well, here you have gigantic issues, man. Yeah, I mean, this is why feminism is still deeply, deeply, deeply needed. Look at this stuff. She was allegedly raped, and then she's in jail because maybe she committed adultery. Funny how it's not funny, it's horrendous, but in deeply misogynistic societies, no matter what, everything becomes the woman's fault. Everything becomes the woman's fault. We covered a story recently, I think it was from Pakistan. A woman denied a marriage proposal, and then what ended up happening? They burned her alive and killed her. And then the people who carried it out and the family members and the tribe came to the family who just lost their daughter and told the father, yeah, make this all go away. You know, hey, your honor is being put into question here. She said no to the marriage proposal. Wait, what? So you're blaming her for saying no to the marriage proposal, but you guys lit her on fire and committed murder. You know whose honor is in question, bitch? Yours. But in deeply misogynistic societies, everything is flipped back on the woman. Everything is the woman's fault. Doesn't matter what the question is, blame the woman. Blame the woman, blame the woman, blame the woman. Everything is the fault of the woman, no matter what. Well, fuck that. That's not true. We're here to say that's not the case. And we're here to try to inject rationality back into the way people think, to view these things objectively, as opposed to from a deeply misogynistic cultural or religious perspective. And finally, one more. According to the AFP, the Al-Qaeda leader, Ayman al-Zawahiri, released a message pledging allegiance to the Taliban. This is definitely out of left field. So the Taliban has a new leader after the last one was killed in a U.S. drone strike. The new one's name is Haibatullah Akhundzadeh. Definitely butchered that. So Zawahiri says, we pledge allegiance to you on jihad to liberate every inch of the lands of the Muslims that are invaded and stolen. Allah has graced you by establishing the first legitimate emirate after the fall of the Ottoman Caliphate, and in the world, there was no other legitimate emirate. Oh, okay here. So this is a snub to ISIS. Now, I'm going to get to that in a second. But the Taliban, there are differences, and this is why this is a big deal. So for people who know about the differences within this context, you're going, this is strange, because the Taliban, they're Pashtun, and they follow Pashtun Wali, which is basically tribal ultra-conservative culture, and their version of fundamentalism is what's called Deobandi fundamentalism, and they follow that more than Salafi jihadism, which is what Al-Qaeda follows. And Deobandi fundamentalism was born out of resistance to imperialism and colonialism. Now, obviously, the religious element to it is massive in the sense that they are ultra-conservative Muslims as well, but it was birthed out of the Deobandi fundamentalism as opposed to Salafi jihadism. Now, again, Al-Qaeda is Salafi jihadism, so it's weird that you have tribal differences, cultural differences, religious differences, but the head of Al-Qaeda is pledging allegiance to the head of the Taliban. Now, again, the reason why they're doing this, I think, is they want a civil war, and they want a civil war with ISIS. So the Taliban and ISIS don't get along. The Taliban hates that ISIS has infiltrated eastern Afghanistan, and you know, the Taliban recently was in trouble in the sense that they lost some high-ranking people and some leaders, and so there's fighting between the Taliban and Al-Qaeda, and obviously ISIS and Al-Qaeda have been fighting from the beginning because ISIS is a break-off branch of Al-Qaeda that didn't like Central Command, and Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi is the head of ISIS. So what this is an attempt for Al-Qaeda and the Taliban to get together and to take out ISIS because they don't like ISIS. They don't view them as a legitimate caliphate. They actually view them as hurting the cause. And yet again, this leads me to the same fucking conclusion I've been screaming from day one that nobody in the government in the West seems to understand. If you get out of the way, they kill each other. You have the Taliban and Al-Qaeda going, yeah, we're going to fuck up ISIS. You have ISIS going, we're going to fuck up those guys. By the way, you have Hamas in the Palestinian territories who are also fighting ISIS. You have this intra, battle here where you have, and you add Hezbollah into the mix. In Syria, Hezbollah, the Shia group, is fighting ISIS and al-Nusra, which is Al-Qaeda in Syria. You have all this fighting going on. If you get the fuck out of the way, they're going to fight each other. They're going to fight each other. And further evidence of this, you don't have to take my word for it. Take Zawahiri's word for it. The head of Al-Qaeda, he said recently, quote, "We have to want the unity of the Mujahideen in Syria so it will be liberated from the Russians and Western crusaders. My brothers, the matter of unity is a matter of life or death for you." So let me break that down further. So either, in Zawahiri's mind, either he would prefer the unity of the Taliban, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and all Sunni jihadists, okay, to fight the Shias in the region, or more recently, since ISIS apparently is not interested in that and they've been enemies from the beginning, he thinks, okay, well, then it'll be us and the Taliban, Al-Qaeda and the Taliban, versus ISIS, and then we'll also take on the Shias as well. So no matter how you slice it or dice it, if you get the fuck out of the way, they fight each other, they kill each other. Isn't that what you want? Don't you want ISIS to and Al-Qaeda to kill each other? Don't you want the Taliban and ISIS and Al-Qaeda to kill each other? Isn't that what you want? Isn't that what we all want? Well, they're promising, they're telling you, this is what we'll do. This is what we'll do. But the one thing that'll stop us from doing that is, I just said it right here, the one thing that about the unity, we have to want the unity of the Mujahideen in Syria. And it will be liberated from the Russians and Western crusaders. So the Russians and the Western crusaders being there makes it so that they will unify to fight against you. But if you're not there, they're telling you, we will fight each other. The choice is clear. Okay. All right, guys. I'm done. I love you. We'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same place. Mwah. Kisses. I'm out. Peace.